Okay, today I want to talk about a topic that comes up all the time, and or a question that people ask have asked me, and I've seen them ask other people as well, as far as protection dogs. And the question is, can you bring that dog into Tractor Supply without a muzzle? I don't necessarily understand why that seems to be like the high watermark of a dog, but we'll talk about that just a little bit here today. So I'm not going to give a clear black and white answer on that. I'm going to say that it depends. I guess we would have to say, what is your definition of a protection dog? What sort of level of protection have you brought your dog to? Are we talking about a really serious, defensive-driven man-stopper dog? Or are we talking a prey-driven sleeve equipment dog? You know, what do you mean by protection dog? So we could look at some of my dogs. We'll take a look at any of them. There are different levels of comfortability I would have with doing that, depending on what the dog was. Luna, I would not worry about. Every other dog, I would consider it irresponsible and negligent to bring a serious man-stopper dog that, me and Gypsy used to say that, you awoke the devil in this dog. A real serious man-stopper that's going to stop the hardened criminal that I often describe with his criminal record tattooed on his face and, been kicked and stabbed isn't afraid of dogs, a real serious person, even with a more, a knife or some blunt object or something like that. And I think there's a lot of mythology on YouTube and on social media and in a lot of postmodern thought, actually, that kind of dominates the underpinnings of Western civilization at the moment. But, why would you want to take a dog of the caliber of Gertie or Luca or Trudy? And just as recently as April, I brought Trudy into Tractor Supply without a muzzle and decided that's the last time I'm ever doing that. Not because she misbehaved, not because there was any issues. It's just not a good idea. It's not responsible dog ownership. These are, when you've done this kind of stuff to a dog, now you have a serious working dog. It's not, something that you're just going to pal around with all over the place. I really think a lot of that is really a myth. I mean, these are serious dogs, and I wouldn't do that. Definitely not doing it anymore. Luca, I haven't had in Tractor Supply in years. I think it was COVID 2021 that I brought him into Cabela's, and he was fine. Actually, interesting story. We were standing outside, of course, and at whatever it was, 6 foot or 8 foot intervals, waiting to get in because you can only have so many people in the store. And Cabela's allows you to have your dogs in there. So I had Luca with me, and he was staying at heel. And there was a family in front of me with kids, and they're jumping around all over the place. And there was an elderly couple behind me, and he was totally fine. And some young adolescent girl, maybe 11, 12, maybe 13 years old, came up and asked, could she pet the dog? And I was very politely said, oh, no, hon. He's kind of a working dog. And she kind of insisted, and I was like, no, that's okay, thank you. Maybe about 8 minutes later, the cops roll up. Seriously, they call the cops on me. And it was really nice that Luca was so well behaved, and how the family in front of me was like, no, him and his dog are absolutely fine. And, but anyway, but now at this point, and he's older, I don't really have a desire to do that. I mean, I have these dogs to protect my home, and they've been brought to a level of aggression. See, here's the difference with these dogs that you're seeing in this play drive stuff, man. Like I say all the time, when you're dealing with defensive drive, man, you're dealing with a whole new chemistry set. And, And that's the kind of dogs I want. So you have to decide what kind of dog you want. You know, you can get a dog that you can pal around with everywhere and teach it to maybe bark on command. You know, something like that, where it's a game, not necessarily any real. And I tell you guys how to do that in the courses here, you know. And that's totally legitimate. That's a level of protection, right? But that's not a man-stopper dog. But that is a level of protection that's totally legitimate. You might want to bring a dog to legitimate threats display, but as soon as you do that, you're then antagonizing a dog in defensive drive and strengthening that right off the bat. So, you know, you just have to decide. You know, for me, joking, not even really jokingly, but if I go to Tractor Supply, I leave Trudy or Luca or any of those dogs in the truck because I'm not worried about getting jacked in Tractor Supply. But our white Ford pickup trucks, which are the number one stolen vehicles in New Mexico, and New Mexico is the number one state for stolen vehicles, I do believe. So the real threat, the real challenge is keeping people out of your truck while you're in Tractor Supply or Cabela's or whatever it is, right? That's the point of having the guard dog. They're there to make sure nobody jacks your truck, right? Or you got stuff in your truck. Maybe you're out shopping that day, you know. This applies in the winter mostly. In the summertime, you can't leave your dogs in the car. But you get my point with this, right? It doesn't really make any practical sense to take a dog like that and bring it into Tractor Supply because that's not why you have the dog. These are for me anyway. My dogs are family pets and friends, and there's no doubt about that. And they go to public in the public park and all kinds of places and walk them down the street and but. You know, we don't get in real close proximity of people. We don't walk through crowds of people. We don't do that kind of stuff. we just don't, because it's part of being a responsible dog owner and understanding that, hey, these are real serious dogs that are capable of being man stoppers. So if you have a man stopper dog, I would say no. It's and Gypsy as well. One of the things he would talk about is if you bring your, he's even stricter to me, anytime you bring your dog into town, it needs to be on a muzzle. A lot of this coincides with potentially dangerous dog laws, if you have any of those. We don't have those here, but if your dog has bitten somebody and now it's a potentially dangerous dog, one of the requirements to keep the dog in a lot of places and states and where they have those laws is that if you're going to go in the town, you have to have the dog muzzled, you know, and rightfully so at that point. And so we don't even let it get to the, we don't want anybody bit. So, you know, we're responsible dog owners. We understand that these are working dogs, even though they're family pets and great friends. You know, like a more public thing for we use our dogs is for hiking. Right out in wilderness areas, down trails, things like that. That's especially my wife. You know, she'll bring Gertie with her, or mostly Gertie she brings with her. You know, and Gertie's just not an in-town dog. And there's no reason. She's totally happy out here in the country with us. And like I say, when my wife goes hiking and things like that, it's Gertie that comes with her. And if, you know, there's other people coming down the trail, you walk off the trail, you give wide girth, you know what I'm saying? Like 20, 30 feet, you know, so that there's no instances. And of course, you have good behaviors in your dog where you tell them to stay at heel. Even if these other people, you know, a lot of times they're going to have the hippy dippy, you know, they got their little dogs running around all over the place and they're not tethered like they're supposed to be, right, by law, and might come running up on your dog. And, you know, my rule with that is if your dog runs up and I've moved 20 or 30 feet off of the trail and you don't have your dog tethered like you're supposed to have it, and your dog runs up and comes within proximity where my dog's gonna nail it, then and that's pretty much within the law too. See, you got to think about what the law, even with the personal protection stuff, out and about, you know, you have about 3 or 4 feet in front of you that's your legal personal space in most places. So, you know, something generally needs to come within that proximity, even with a knife or a club or something like that. they need to come within that proximity before you can loose your dog or your dog takes action. And that would include on a thing like that. So we usually say, put your dog up. You know, our dog doesn't like other dogs. But because you've given such a wide berth there, you got 20 to 30 feet. You know, I prefer 30 feet away, if not even more. You know, get the dog off the trail. Let those people pass by, you know, and you know, just let them know. And if something happens, something happens, you know. But you've done everything that you've done to be a responsible dog owner. So, you know, out on the trail, a place like that, you know, there's no muzzles worn on the dogs. And the dog is there to protect my wife and allows her to get to what she needs to handle a situation along with the dog. It's a team effort. But that's why, you know, the obedience is so, so important. And but no, would you take Gertie in the Tractor Supply? Absolutely not. First of all, there's no reason to do that, because that is not the test of a good dog for that particular dog, for our particular situation in need, for a particular job that needs to be done. There's no requirement for Gertie, you know, to have to go into Tractor Supply. It's just not on the list of things that... Now, other people have other situations, and that's what I'm saying. It's not a black or white thing for me. It's, you know, what is the level of your dog? And, man, if you got serious-ass man stoppers, I don't know, man. It just seems like a really bad idea. and unnecessary, like I said. I mean, I have the dogs to protect the house and protect the car, protect more so my wife when she's out hiking and things like that. And those are our areas and our situation. And the home and the yard being, you know, first and foremost. You know, we have an inner yard, the fenced in area that's around our home, and that's the primary line of defense for sure. And that's where our dogs are mostly trained, you know, to guard and protect. And then of course there's the automobile, and then walking out in nature on a trail. But you know, you may have a different circumstance, and maybe you're in town a lot more in an urban area. Most people are, and so you have to measure that. But no, I would not take a serious man stopper dog into Tractor Supply, period, with a muzzle or without a muzzle, because there's no need to have that dog. And it's not because I don't have control over my dog. You got to understand that. I have really good obedience in all of my dogs. And that's not the issue. The issue is you don't know what other dogs are going to do. You don't know what other people are going to do. And to take that caliber of a working dog, a serious-ass man-stopper dog, a Borbal, a Corso, some sort of mastiff dog, even with that type of obedience training, I think it's irresponsible to be taking that dog, especially without a muzzle. I mean, absolutely not. No way. But why even want to do that? You know what I'm saying? There's different measurements of even like the vet. So Luca went in recently for his 3-year rabies shot. He was due for that again. And so how do you work that out with 125-pound mean ass? I mean, he's not mean. Luca's one of the best-natured dogs you'll ever see. Until he ain't. And that's the, you know, until he ain't thing that you got to concern yourself with. But, you know, especially out here with the country vets, I've had no issues with the two rural vets, the new vet that we have now. It's absolutely not an issue. They give you a little sedative that you give the dog a couple hours before you bring him in. And all of the dogs are muzzle acclimated, right? So bring him, walk right in with the dog, everything's fine. So there's ways, you know, how do you bring it to the vet? That's how you bring it to the vet, you know. If you don't want to do that, a lot of times our vets also do this, where they'll come out. When Gertie had her, I think it was last year or the year before that, she had her 3-year rabies shot again. And, you know, the doctor just came out in the parking lot. But again, the dog is muzzled. In the agitation muzzle is what I mostly use, or a cage muzzle or something like that. But so, you know, you're going to have to navigate those things when people don't think about this, because there's not a real lot of man stoppers on that you're seeing on these YouTube channels and all that kind of stuff. There's really a very small percentage of dogs that you're really witnessing that are true defensive driven man stopper type dogs. You know, training and pray drive is one thing, but doing it in defensive drive is a whole new ball of wax. So that's my two cents on that. Leave your comments below. Consider becoming a member here. There's a lot of content, both in the Dogman Underground podcast and also training courses and things like that here. And I think do we offer that? I don't know. Yeah, we do, actually. I guess you would call it private one-on-one. We could use Skype or videos or things like that to do personal one-on-one training, either 30-minute or one-hour sessions. And we can do those as well. So that's my thought on that. Should you bring your man-stopper dog into Tractor Supply? My answer is, why would you want to do that?